You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad. What a beautiful evening we get to spend with family and friends as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I just love to say that. I love to say in a lonely world, people are disenfranchised, we're without direction. Oftentimes, to be able to say, God is with us. And we proclaim that. We proclaim that especially this time of year. Well, I want to read to you the story of God's coming. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And this is how it begins. It says this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. That's it. That's the Son of God's entrance into this world. It just seems so easily missed, so unassuming. And by all accounts, this was a silent arrival, and most people were certainly unaware. They had been waiting for their Messiah for years and years and years, and this is how he enters the world, in a humble way. A way that none of us would have expected a king to arrive into a world that he was ruling and would rule. They had been waiting for a long time, and this barely, the people around them barely seemed to take notice. So here's the position we find ourselves in this Christmas. Like the people 2,000 years ago, we're waiting for Jesus to come. We're waiting, our hearts are waiting. The Bible says that all of the world is waiting. This is part of Christmas that often goes unnoticed. We don't usually talk about the second coming of Christ during the Christmas season. While we celebrate his birth, what we need to do is also anticipate his coming. In the early church, I don't know if you know this, but the birth of Jesus was always connected to the return of Jesus. Whenever they would talk about the birth, they would talk about the return. When they talked about the return, they would talk about the birth. That is to say, you really didn't talk about the birth of Jesus without talking about the second coming of Jesus. And here's what I'm asking you to do this Christmas holiday, this Christmas celebration. I'm going to ask that you remember the birth of Jesus this Christmas, but you would also anticipate his return as well. Then when you have some time in the next few moments, I know with all the hustle and bustle and the rush of Christmas, you're headed out here in a hurry to go somewhere to eat some good food, I'm sure, probably open some presents, see some friends and family. But if you could just take a moment, not only think about the celebration that we're in, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, but your heart would also anticipate his soon return. That's what we get to do this Christmas. In fact, the whole Advent season puts these things together. It's not just a celebration that Jesus came. It's an anticipation that Jesus will come again. This might be the first time you've ever heard the two put together. You may have never even thought about the birth connected with the second coming. But the early church talked about it all of the time. They would put these together. It's appropriate for us this Christmas to say, Jesus came and Jesus will come again. It's appropriate for us to be joy-filled because he's come and he's coming again. I don't know if you're aware of this, that many of the old Christmas hymns we sing and will continue to sing tonight were written with the second coming in mind. For instance, the great hymn and the Christmas carol that we'll sing as we conclude our time together, it's called Joy to the World. It was written in 1719 by Sir Isaac Watts. It's actually a rendition of the second half of Psalm 98. And it's all about the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, when you sing the first verse, you're recognizing as you sing it that the stage was being set through his birth, that there would be a death, a blameless death, a death that was sacrificial for all of our sins, that would give us forgiveness and eternal life, would give us a relationship with God that we hadn't had before. But then as you go through that wonderful song, the next few verses is building to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Think about that song. One causes us to celebrate, the other should cause us to prepare. So how do we do both? I'm a simple guy and I want to know how you do this. How do you do both? How do we celebrate and prepare this Christmas? I want you to listen to the rest of the story and pay a special attention to the shepherds. Because I think they have the answer. I think it's all wrapped up in the way they responded. And this is what it says beginning at verse 8 in Luke chapter 2. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I have to tell you, I love this story. In fact, I'll sneak this story in throughout the year. I want to read about the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to read about Emmanuel. Because what it does is it incites my imagination. It goes deep into my heart, deep into my spirit, that God is with us. And what's even more amazing to me when I read this story is that God didn't go to the elite. He didn't go to the religious elite. He went first to the shepherds. I can identify with that. Maybe you can as well. I love this story because it's about a bunch of ordinary working people who are the first to hear the extraordinary news. The news of a Savior. And their lives after that were never the same. They were absolutely changed, absolutely transformed. You can see it in the way they responded. You can see it in the joy that filled their heart. I love thinking about how they must have felt as they fell to their knees in worship and adoration to the baby Jesus. And I love to think about how they ran both to and from that stable with their hearts full of joy and full of good news. So how does celebration and preparation come together at Christmas? The answer is as ordinary as the people in our story. The answer is simple. knees and feet. That's the answer. And you're thinking, wow, couldn't you come up with something better than that? I mean, isn't there something more profound than that? No. The announcement came to the shepherds, ordinary people. And here it is, the answer to Mary: preparation and anticipation is knees and feet. That God wants us to use feet to run and find him. That you have feet today to pursue him, to know him, to have a relationship with him. And that you would find yourself going to those places that you would enjoy his presence, wherever that might be for you. But feet to run to God. But then also those same feet take the news. Take what we've heard when we've been with him in his presence, and we run out and we tell others. That's why I love the phrase that says, how lovely are the feet of those that do what? That bring good news. You know, this isn't something that's beyond our comprehension. This isn't something that's so ethereal that we can't get a hold of it. We're talking about plain old and sometimes stinky feet. It was the feet of Jesus that carried the cross to Calvary that died for you and me. It was his faithfulness. And faithfulness translates in our lives through our feet, that we run to him. And after being with him, we run to tell others how we've been changed. Because when you've been in his presence, you are changed. And in his presence, he wants my knees to bow down, to worship him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It says at the very end, when Jesus comes back, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But here's my challenge, and maybe it's your challenge as well. The challenge, as I fall to my knees and worship him, is to then rise up and live a different life. To rise up and know that my life has been changed, that I'm transformed, that when I'm in his presence, I can't stay the same. I can't be the same. When my knee bows and touches the ground that I walk on, in love and adoration and worship to God, my heart needs to change. I think that's what happened to those shepherds. I think they came into that stinky old stall and their feet brought them. They knelt on that ground with their knees and they were changed. And I pray this. I pray that this Christmas season, this time for me, would be the same. That my life would change. Let our bended knees be that acknowledgement that we worship the King of Kings. Let your bended knee be surrender to the Lord of Lords. And our feet, our feet, more than our words, really proclaim the good news. My feet proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has come and that Jesus Christ is coming again. Keep your head lifted. In the days to come, keep your heart encouraged through the good news of Jesus Christ. The world that we live in needs people like you who let their feet proclaim the gospel and their knee acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need that today. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I want to thank you today for the beauty of what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. That this season, this opportunity we have, doesn't just stop with saying that Jesus Christ came as a baby, but it goes beyond that. He's come as a baby. Emmanuel, God is with us, but he is absolutely coming again. Let our hearts be full of anticipation and joy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.